Let's do it, baby. Oh, yeah. Let's do it again. I have no voice.
Yeah.
Baby. Hello. Whoa.
Gabba gabba wee, gabba gabba gay, gabba gabba gabba.
Welcome to
gabba,
the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most.
Whoa.
Remember how bad this is? This is so bad. There you go, she's the last kicker. It gives you douche chills.
She's the last kicker.
Dan Black, the comedian with the most wrestling stand-up on the Late Late Show, hosted by James Corden. Dan Black, a.k.a. Donski of Black Amora, a.k.a. Tanakatsu Tony, the Patreon Don, coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gubba, gubba, wee.
Gubba, gubba, wee, gubba, gubba, gay, gubba, 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 gubba,
gubba. Stupid. Stupid, 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 stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to Raw Underground, where there are very little rules. Lots of excitement.
We've come so far, you know.
Chaos and, quite frankly, lots of things that I personally would like to see. I want to...
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby. I think I already did that already. What up? Welcome back. We are back in action for your satisfaction with all our spicy. Yo, honestly, lisps are in, baby.
Smattish faction.
Are in. If Cody Rhodes is going to win the Royal Rumble, then I'm allowed to mispronounce everything, all right?
Smattish faction.
Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Wow, fellas.
That's the best video that we have of all of us together screaming something, something Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania, we all knew to not sing the real words, which we do. We know the real, is it adrenaline in my soul? No, I don't know what it is. Everything is out of control.
Start the show.
Yeah. Oh, something my God. The thing about that, it's hilarious. So in my, welcome to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast, you know all the shit. Here's the deal. In my gym the other day, one of the trainers is a big mark as well. Okay. So he was playing a song, and I was like, yo, what is this song? This song fucking slaps. Mm-hmm. Okay? I was like, I Shazammed it. I was like, yo, this is exactly the kind of song that I want to be working out to. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let me play you what the song was. So I Shazammed it.
Before you do, I guarantee that it's by the band Downstate. That's just my... But hit me with it.
Well, do you want to... Tulo, do you want to guess of what it is?
It's by Finger 11.
I couldn't place it, okay? I couldn't place it. And then I Shazammed it and I go, oh, like, yeah. You'll hear it and then you'll know, okay? Yeah. Tell me if you can place it, all right? Ready?
I'm going to Shazam it.
Barely hear it.
Can you hear it at all?
No.
Oh, Bray Wyatt song. Bray Wyatt's new song.
It's the new Bray Wyatt music. I didn't recognize it because who would ever, it's not Cult of Personality. Yeah. Like it's not even like sometimes they play the Edge song, which kind of fits in the song. Does this fit?
Yeah, to get hyped up. You get hyped up this. Nice.
Yeah, but give it a second, because
I know.
Think you're in the gym. You're pumping, okay? You're in the gym.
Well, this is good for a rest between sets right now.
Yeah.
And then... And you fucking put the weights on your knees. You're ready to kick them up. You're ready to fucking blast out some reps.
Yeah. I was 100% positive it was Linkin Park. I was 1,000% positive. Nice. All right, hold on. Just get to this one part.
I mean, you're telling your...
All right, it's gonna take too long to get to those.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, all right, you're like,
well, I just got a little lightheaded faking working out.
Well, God knows what happened.
Tiptoe with Tulo, Nick Tulo, the couch champion in the house. We just heard him get lightheaded from miming working out. That gives you a little insight into how he's doing. Although last podcast he did have a babe alert. There was a in the background of the Zoom. We did have the. By the way, the babe alarm, many people know, is the same thing as the Royal Rumble buzzer.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is my least mixed sound effect. So it's hard to just use because it a little blows out your guys' eardrums every single time. But it's this. Thanks. Yeah, that's if we see Tulo's babe, you will hear that alarm. Mm-hmm. Now, and also he's here. He's still a Pacific Islander. Coming all the way from Hawaii, the creator of the Waikiki Sneaky, Jason Shapiro.
That's right.
Former cow champion.
Am I, you might credit him the creator of the Waikiki Sneaky? I think I have better credits than that. Let me give you my new credits.
Okay.
He's a writer on season 5 of MTV2's Guy Code. a former sketch teacher at the now defunct Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York.
He was once told that he's aging faster than other people in his age group.
A medical professional once claimed that he was aging more rapidly and said he needed to drink tea made out of tortoise shells.
Oh my God, the cock tea.
The cock tea. It was a tea made by a real doctor at NYU, but also he was into traditional Chinese medicine and gave me what I can only be referred to as cock tea to make me age slower and make my dick harder. And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
It worked. Another credit.
None of that was false.
Another credit.
Yeah.
I am the head scientist at the wrestling scientist bunker located 100 feet below the Amazon jungle.
You're the head of the science table.
I'm the department chair of the science table, the head of the science table for all wrestling scientists. You guys may remember some of my greatest discoveries were the RKO scale of rating RKOs. Huge. Also,
voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they judge.
This one's really good though. The other one's not good.
This is great.
Randy Orton is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
And musicians. And he's playing this song. This is him. What we never said is that this version is his acoustic jam. Randy playing his own song.
Dude, that's him singing.
So, all right. If you follow Kim Orton 01 on Instagram, she's a great follow. She loves her husband. She loves her kids. Kim Orton posts a lot where you see the softer side of Randy Orton. So Randy posts a lot about, you know, in character, a lot of stuff about.
Shep knows a lot about being soft.
Slither apparel. Covered that. About Slither apparel. But Kim Orton will post like, oh, Randy's playing with my daughter, or Randy's being a great dad here, or. Here's Randy. I got him a guitar for Christmas. Yeah. Here's him playing the acoustic version of his own theme song for the children. And they love it. Everyone in town. So that's real. That was actually Randy playing.
That's
another couple
so
other.
Not true.
It is true. You can look it up on Instagram. @KimOrton01. Also, again, just to keep going my credits, softest cock in the East. And then now, hardest cock in the West. So we had a little upgrade there. And then also, again, just to sing the praise, again.
I don't understand that at all. I'm so
incredible. If you're not a longtime listener to the pod, the Shapiro Wrestling Scientist, the Jason Shapiro Memorial Institution for the Advancements of Wrestling Sciences, which is located beneath the Amazon. Like I said, we came up with the RKO scale. We also very recently, with funds People were focusing on COVID tests, COVID vaccine. We were not. We were focusing on tests on how to rank how famous a wrestler was, and we came up with the Tucci test. This was a scientific test we discovered. And the Tucci test.
Is one of the funniest moments in cow history, and unfortunately for us, since we just decided to take a 6-month break for no reason, so many listeners have missed out on the learning about the Tucci test.
Well, that's why I'm telling them, that's why I'm reminding them that this lab, my lab, designed the Tucci test using a lot of different, you know, it's like a somewhere between a pH balance test. It factors in a sort of genetic markers and allele, and, you know, there's a lot of things that we're looking at. But the main thing is testing is a wrestler on a talk show going to be the guest before Stanley Tucci and the number one slot of the guest, or the second guest after Stanley Tucci is the number one guest and the wrestler is the second guest? And that is a very important test. So again, we didn't really focus on COVID vaccinations, you know, or wrestling sciences laboratory. So we focused on the Tucci test. And honestly, I think it's had a lot more of a global impact than some of the tests. And Fauci, by the way, Fauci had stepped down from the head of viral services. Anthony Fauci is now
the head of viral services. Fauci, that was his official title. Anthony Fauci was the head of viral services. Yo, Shebs, how do we get you away from that microphone a little bit? It's so loud. Yeah,
he sounds fine.
Is that mine's just loud? Okay.
No, hate my voice so much.
He sounds good.
Shebs, speaking of Shebs, who, by the way, the Tucci test, where do we land on Roman Reigns with the Tucci test?
So Merch Maven posted, this is a big discussion in the Discord, which
patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Join the cow Discord. Literally $2 a month.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
And it keeps going. When we're not there, it stops
right there, but it picks up over there. So, Tula, report. She said,
Merch Maven, the cashier, says Claire Danes was the one spot to Roman on Fallon.
Oh, wow.
When was this?
I think this was in the summer.
So, but here's the thing.
I have some very good updates.
By the way, just to remind you, we should do this off air, but we don't say here's the thing on this podcast.
You see, the thing is this.
Yeah, of course. We say, so the thing is this.
So the thing is this. Claire Danes, number one-ing to Roman Reigns, okay? You have to understand, my so-called life, homeland, okay? Claire Danes, when I was starving myself and spending months away from my children, so I could live under the Amazon jungle, advancing wrestling sciences. The test we came up with was the Tucci test, okay? I don't care if you're first or second to Claire Danes. That tells me nothing, because Claire Danes is not Stanley Tucci. Claire Danes is more famous than Stanley Tucci, so of course he's going to go number two to Claire Danes. Will he go number two to Stanley Tucci? I don't think so. I think Roman Reigns will pass the Tucci test.
Okay.
He's a champion right now.
Holy shit. Rizey says Batista is the one slot on Fallon tonight. This, I guess, was on 131 ahead of Sarah Michelle Gellar in the Tucci test.
Wow.
Okay. Now again.
Oh, man, we are fucking collecting data.
These are great data points, but if you think I didn't already have these data points crunching through the computers below the Amazon, you're crazy. Here's the thing.
Sarah Michelle Gellar,
SMG. SMG is fantastic. She's a Lonsman. She's a member of the tribe. She's Buffy. She's my everything. Cruel Intentions, of course. But one thing she is not is that famous anymore.
Now, Chet, I'll say this, though.
She's just not that famous anymore.
It's also possible, as her being married to Freddie Prinze Jr.,
right,
that since he's such a big wrestling mark and understands the business, he maybe told her, you got to take the second seat. He might have said, yo, it's Batista. You know, he's been the WWE champion.
I mean, and I'm glad you brought this up. There's so many factors, okay? Because as you know, the thing that I really wanted to drive home about the Tucci test, right, is if that Randy Orton was on the same show as Stanley Tucci on an episode of The Colbert Show, okay? Randy Orton would go second to Stanley Tucci, okay? And you're saying, well, Randy Orton's such a big wrestler, he's so famous. But no. I wanted to point out that if they were to then have a match at WrestleMania, Stanley Tucci would also defeat Randy Orton in that match.
We covered that last week.
Right. By merit of Stanley Tucci being famous for not wrestling, he is now a better wrestler.
Because
this is what I need to explain, because you guys
all the same stuff as last week.
I'm using that to set up the important point to evaluate the recent. Okay. This is why I run a lab and you run a fucking podcast, okay? I'm a scientist. You're an asshole with a microphone, okay? Batista has now transcended wrestling. Batista is now an actual Hollywood actor. Okay. Yeah. Whereas Sarah Michelle Gellar is married to a writer of wrestling. Okay. So in the Tucci test, we shouldn't be asking, oh, would Batista the wrestler be ahead of Sarah Michelle Gellar? No, no, no. We're, the question is Sarah Michelle Gellar, the wrestling writer's wife, going to go ahead of that actor, David Batista, with a U in it? You know what I mean? You guys are asking the reverse question now.
I have so many things to talk about here. Oh, Tulo. Well, let's go back to Tulo, and then I have two things.
So that's what Philip Hollingsworth says in the Discord.
Name.
He says,
the
true.
The fake name I've ever heard.
But he's in the one slot for being an actor, though, right? Should the Tucci test only apply to active wrestlers or what? Still good for Batista.
So. Well, Shep's kind of just covered
it. I just covered it. So Dave Batista is now actually no longer a wrestler.
He's no longer a wrestler. As a matter of fact, that's what I want to get to. I want to say one thing first. First thing is, there's also a video I'm seeing. I happen to Google this to see when this happened, when Reigns was on when he was on Fallon.
Yeah, it was on the Friday before Rumble, right?
It looks like they replayed it recently. Like, you know? Mm, and right. They replayed it. Right, but it was the old episode, right?
Yeah, you know, it'd be amazing.
Unless Roman Reigns, did Roman Reigns go back on Fallon
like a day later?
Oh, so I think this is new. This looks brand new because you know, I know this is brand new because last week I was commenting so much about Roman's tan, remember? And I'm watching Roman Reigns and Tariq from the Roots, Steve Higgins, Fallon, and Claire Danes playing Password on Fallon. God, this show seems to be getting worse.
Shit. I think it was Billy Eichner who said that Jimmy Fallon turned the Today Show into a children's birthday party. He just took like one of the most historic institutions in the comedy landscape and just turned it into a children's birthday party. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. Fuck Jimmy Fallon.
Yo,
by the way,
best part though, I gotta tell you. So the comments like underneath it, and this is on the Tonight Show's YouTube page, right? Not wrestling. It's like first comment, by the way, is by Elliot Smith. Now,
the dead rock and roller,
yeah, this the deceased Needle in the Hay singer,
yeah, the suicide victim, and lifelong depressive singer songwriter Elliot Smith.
Okay, first comment on there says Roman sitting there, I'm sure the entire time imagining the ways he's gonna punish Sammy for not listening.
Yeah, that's the top comment because that's the top comment.
And then the next comment is the guy goes, another Roman Reigns victory. I acknowledge my tribal chief. Yo, the marks are coming out strong here. No one cares about Claire Danes. Oh my great. God.
That's why wrestling's amazing.
Here's I have a scenario to paint you guys.
Wait, I have one more thing to tell you.
Okay.
Can you save the scenario though? Because I want to continue.
I can save it. Yeah.
I was talking to Christina. And we were talking about Batista.
Wait, is this a hard pivot from what we were just
talking
about?
No.
Because if so, all right.
We were talking about Batista.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say Stanley Tucci.
No, so we were talking about Batista, and I was just like, Dave Batista, is he the most successful wrestling actor? Now, in the sense of like, yeah, The Rock is the most successful wrestling actor, but people still call him The Rock. They all know he was a wrestler. Dave Batista, like you said, has transcended acting into the place where I would say most people know him as an actor and don't even know that he has headlined WrestleMania.
False. No one looks at that guy and says, wow, I wonder if he studied at the Royal Shakespearean Academy in London. No one looks at that guy and goes,
I think you're wrong.
They go, oh, yeah, he I think you're wrong. Actually, he did Theater in the Round for a couple years.
No, but that's fine. But what I'm saying is that I think most people, I'm talking about most, not, I'm not, I'm talking most means a 51%er,
right,
would not know how much of a wrestler he was. Like that he was, like they know Cena was a wrestler,
right?
You want
to know why? Because you keep saying he was such a wrestler. He headlined WrestleMania. No, no one knows he wrestled because he was a fucking terrible wrestler that no one liked.
Yeah, but
like, he sucked.
He main evented WrestleMania.
So did The Miz. No, I mean, not that I don't like
WrestleMania.
I'm just saying. Dave Batista was not this iconic wrestler, John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. These guys are some of the biggest wrestlers.
So did the Miz, but people know that Miz is a wrestler.
Because Miz has a whole show about it.
How many wrestlers, I'm saying, the level, I guess what the thing I'm talking
you're saying is Dave Bautista the most successful wrestler turned actor? And your metric for judging success is, do people not even know you were a wrestler?
Yes.
Which, by the way, is not a good metric to judge your success as an actor. I would think your metric should be awards, box office, great performances.
Has Bautista shed the stigma of being a pro wrestler more than any other?
Okay, so now that's a different question, but what that question certainly is not is he the most successful actor who's ever been a wrestler?
Well, I think that he's the only what other wrestler has shed their wrestling past?
You're talking about they have to have main evented WrestleMania, because there's guys who wrestled that now do other shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Who were nothing. You know,
but also Bautista, it's also incredible because Bautista, all right, even if you take wrestling out of it, I'm just amazed by the guy, because like he also became Drax, which is a big jump.
Okay,
it's kind of a simple jump.
Right.
From wrestling.
Right. And I would argue that's what made him a big star.
Like now he's in Rian Johnson films. You know what I mean?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Like now he's in like real movies.
The real test of Bautista. We're having this question, this discussion too prematurely. Okay. The real test of Bautista is because look, I see, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, like any fucking jacked
rom-com
up wrestler could have been Drax, right?
Rom-com, right?
Sure. You know, now he's in Glass Onion. I didn't watch Glass Onion. I assume it's a big ensemble cast and he's part of it. Yeah. And, you know, who knows? I'll liken this to a Southland Tales with that The Rock was in, right? The real test is,
come on. Southland Tales was like a huge flop and an awful movie.
But it's an ensemble cast.
Glass Onion's like nominated for Best Picture.
It's an ensemble cast of which the wrestler is not carrying the film, but more than anything else, he is almost a sideshow commodity. Like, oh, we also have a jacked dude here, right? So that's why my comparison.
All right, fine.
The test of Bautista being an actor is, can he make an M. Night Shyamalan movie watchable? Because it's going to require actual acting, like to be able to hold suspense. It's going to be actual character work. And he has the uphill battle of carrying a piece of shit movie. Because M. Night Shyamalan is garbage.
Early polls, early reviews. His movie sucks, but Bautista's does a great job.
Two steps back. M. Night Shyamalan is not garbage.
Name me. If you take out the split glass,
he's already removing credits from him.
No. Unbreakable and all that shit. Those are okay, right?
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense.
No, those are good.
Okay, the Sixth Sense
is a masterpiece.
The Sixth Sense is a masterpiece. Now tell me anything that he does. Now name the other 10 movies he's done, and which one do you think is good?
If someone writes a masterpiece, one of the best movies, the most iconic movies of all time, you can't dunk on them that hard.
What I can do is when they come out with another movie and Bautista's in it, I can say, this movie's probably a piece of shit. And if Bautista makes it good.
His last movie, Old, was called Old, I think. That wasn't that bad. And also, the thing about, I'll say this, M. Night Shyamalan, the dude takes risks.
He tastes.
Finances his own movie. The dude is the man. In we live in a sea of just fucking IP that is just regurgitated. Like, God, what did I see they're making today? They're revamping White Men Can't Jump.
Mm-hmm. Right? Great idea. Jack Harlow?
With Jack Harlow.
Yeah, Jack Harlow, I'm out.
So this guy takes original, he makes original ideas. Some of them really tank, and he takes big swings. I think M. Night Shyamalan actually is the man. That's what
I'm saying. Real quick.
You can keep watching Into the Spider-Verse, and I'll watch whatever this cabin movie is. Even if it sucks, I'll like it more.
All right. So I'm just going to name you some movies, and then I'm going to tell you how angry I was when I watched them.
I wanted to
like it, didn't like it. The Village made me angry. It was so stupid.
I liked The Village. I thought
Lady in the Water.
I didn't hate Lady in the Water, the worst movie of all time.
Lady in the Water. You convinced me, Schnepper, and two of our other friends to see that in the theaters. We yelled at you in the car on the way home.
That's the worst movie ever made.
The Happening is a punchline. The Last Airbender, I guess he directed but didn't write. Who gives a fuck? After Earth, absolute piece of shit. Again, he directed, didn't write.
Yeah.
Wayward Pines, the TV show, couldn't tell you what it is. The Visit, piece of shit. Split, good.
Split was dope.
Glass, good.
Glass was dope.
Old, never heard of it.
Old was dope.
Okay, what happens in that movie?
Yo, Old, spoiler alert on Old. Old's like it's like a beach where people go to it and they start aging rapidly.
Oh, that's where that's me. That's I'm on that beach.
Yeah, Shebs is on.
Oh, it's my biopic?
But then they're like, you realize that like Big Pharma purposely puts people on this island to like get they to like you know, they like give them they try medicines on them because they can age fast. You know what I mean? That's like the reveal. That's the twist.
I hate it. I mean, look, Robot Chicken did such a funny like send up of fucking M. Night Shyamalan. It's like at the end of every teacher goes, oh, what a twist. Like he just like does bullshit and then says what a twist. It's great. He's a big twist guy.
Yeah.
Him and fucking man. Chubby Checker.
So anyway, let's move on. We got to move on to wrestling because we have to move on to wrestling because
well, you didn't let me say
it.
My scenario.
Give me the scenario. I was hoping he forgot, but he did. And if he's brought it up, I'd let him do it.
I don't forget about scenarios. That's why you guys have me on the show.
This is insane, man.
Here, look, hold on. I'm gonna play. Let's do the twist in the background for M. Night Shyamalan. So the scenario is okay. Wouldn't this be funny if there's an episode of Fallon? Okay, like who won the Rumble this year? Who won the Men's Rumble?
Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes. How about imagine a scenario? This is my M. Night Shyamalan movie. Ready? It's Cody Rhodes is the guest on an episode of The Tonight Show. He's second guest. First guest.
Wait. Okay, wait. Still. Cody Rhodes is second guest.
Right. Tilda Swinton is the first guest. Okay.
Did that happen?
Just waltz with me here. Do a little dance with your
Tilda
homie,
Swinton
okay?
would go. She's definitely in the one spot.
Tilda now. Swinton does the one. This is my M. Night Shyamalan movie, okay? It's called.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's called The Desk, okay? Here's the M. Night Shyamalan movie. It has a twist at the end, okay? Here's the scenario. Tilda Swinton is the number one guest on Jimmy Fallon the day before Rumble on Friday, okay? Cody Rhodes is the second guest, okay?
Yeah.
And since I'm writing this.
Is- me doing stand-up?
And because I'm writing this movie right now, the third guest is it's going to feature a set by Dan Black, okay?
Played by Andrew Dice Clay.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to age him up, okay? We're going to age him up for this. We're going to do the
M. Night Shyamalan, so it's old. Irishman. Yeah. So, so it's old. M. Night Shyamalan, a little blend of old into this movie.
I'm going to have Dan Black played by Andrew Dice Clay. They're going to de-age Dice through CGI. And Tilda Swinton is actually going to be played by Dakota Fanning. We're going to age her up with the same CGI, okay? So it's going to be net neutral CGI. So this is the premise of the movie. And then Cody wins the Rumble, okay?
Yeah.
And then on all the replays of the show, they cut it. They make a difference. So now he's the first guest. And Tilda Swinton's the second guest.
How is this a movie?
It's a twist.
I don't even think that qualifies as a twist.
That's a twist. That's a twist. Because now everyone's going.
Like everyone's seeing it. And they're, it's kind of, is it like kind of like that thing where the, what's it
the
called?
The Mandela effect.
The Mandela effect. So in the same way, the other way.
So the old that movie, the old,
yeah.
which was about me. That movie was a commentary on Big Pharma and what's going on with it. So my movie, The Desk, is a commentary on the Mandela effect. Is our memory, you know, reliable? And because also, the intro is going to show a person getting convicted on death row and being executed. But because there was eyewitness testimony that they saw him. But then the eyewitnesses, can we even believe what they think?
It's funny because I actually have the opening credit song.
Can they believe what they... with my thoughts of you.
In this world wait, was this song when Flair fake retired, I think?
Yeah, there's like Flair's third retirement song. Yeah. Anyway, what do you guys think?
The soundboard died. Good. It didn't want to play that.
Good. So anyway,
before
that's
the podcast
movie.
Started, I just want to let everybody know, Dan said... charge the soundboard. Things are good.
I did charge the soundboard and it died anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I also told before the podcast.
Buy a new soundboard, dude. It'll make life. You'll be
also,
so happy.
Just to pull the curtain back, every time I'm on this podcast, Dan's like, all right, it's going to be at this time. I get a text like, hey, man, where are you? I'm like, all right, cool. I'd pop in. You would think.
Oh, Shep's audio muted. Cut out there. I guess we should just talk about wrestling now.
I'm unmuting myself. What happened is I'm still waiting 30 minutes for you to dick around. You're like, guys, I don't know. I can't. Oh, I'm like, why don't you just get it ready and then we'll pop on.
You know, this podcast, I feel like the honorary juice, man. Like, I swear to God, I'm like the honorary juice. I'm
the honorary juice, man. Juice?
Are you saying something anti-Semitic? I can't tell.
The honorary juice, man?
I'm the honorary juice, man.
All right.
I've never heard the term honorary juice. What's the honorary juice?
Yeah, what is that? You mean Jew like Jew?
It's Jew and
Ooze. Oh, Jusos. Oh, they're Jusos.
I'm the honorary juice.
Yo, that's a great segue into wrestling this week. Okay.
Okay.
The Jusos. So, yo, I got to say, I texted Tulo this. I got to say, this Roman Sammy stuff on SmackDown.
Give it to me, baby.
Was some of the best wrestling shit I've seen in like years, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd was fucking white hot for Sammy. That was fucking awesome to the point where, and this is awesome, I realized after I go, oh, that's awesome. I go, oh, this is going to be a problem. You know, I'm getting worked because I go, this is a problem for Cody. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is a problem for Cody because Cody's supposed to be getting the heat here. And if you watched Raw and you compare his segment on Raw to the Sammy segment on SmackDown, it's not even close. The Sammy shit is so much more over. And we have like a Sammy Mania situation on our hands here, you know?
We have a Sammy Mania situation brewing.
Yeah. Now, I also, before I forget, just want to say, because we're going to go into the booking and all the thoughts here. Oh, man, I just want to – props to Roman Reigns. I thought he was so good on SmackDown this week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the writing for him was fucking great. Like, whoever's writing for him, which might be Rob V, one of the greats, my friend, the lines they were giving him about him telling the other guys to go eat. I loved his whole temperament. All the shit that he screams, like when he's beating up Sammy, you know? It's so good, and it's actually, like, scary. Like, he now is getting to this place where he can be like, haha, like, I'm friendly. And, you know, that part of his acting always kind of sucks. Like, when he's all, like, a little bit, like, ironic, he's always kind of fake laughing at the crowd. Be like, haha, yeah, you really want me to do this, that? But when he gets into the angry mode, you know, when he's screaming, like, I'm the head of the table, and, like, you really want to do this? You want to mess up my family, my bloodline, that shit? He's got that down where you could like put him in a movie, you know?
He's looking good. He's looking good. He's looking a great actor.
What did
he's
you guys feel about the Sammy Uso, the whole thing?
I mean, I think Roman is, it's not even close right now. Like, no one's touching him. Like, he is the number one guy in all the land. He is the head of the table. He is the tribal chief. It is top notch. This shit is amazing. I've seen it live in person. I saw it SummerSlam against Brock. I saw it at Royal Rumble against Kevin Owens now. Like, watching him live in person too, being in the crowd, seeing how the crowd's behind him, but like also hates him. You're getting everybody thrown at once, but everybody chanting fuck you, Roman. It's everything you want out of a professional wrestler.
It's
the guy.
I only have one. Sorry, Tula. Go,
do a babe alert detour here, but proof is in the pudding. Natalie acknowledges Roman Reigns as their tribal chief already. Like, he comes on TV and
we
she's
got a
like,
name, folks. Natalie is the woman.
Natalie.
Yeah. There's an A first.
Wait, right. What?
It's a misplaced noun.
I'm sorry. What? Did someone was there someone that typo on the birth certificate? What's going on here?
She threw up the one.
Yeah.
She acknowledged Roman Reigns as a tribal chief. Like, she's all about Roman Reigns. Okay. She's into it. I mean, it's perfect.
So, here's what I want to say. I got two things to say. Well, first thing is, my only beef with Roman Reigns is slight, which is, I like the song at this point. I think at one point I was like, the song, and the other thing is the graphic. But the graphic ties into my complaint, which is just that, I like that he rocks like kind of the athleisure look. He kind of has like the wears the Jordans. I think that really like fits him. You know what I mean? But then like on the picture he's wearing on the shirt, he's wearing the suit. But we almost never see him in a suit.
Never.
Right?
Unless he's on Fallon. Yeah, passing the Tucci test.
Yeah, we almost never see him in a suit.
Acing the Tucci test.
Yeah, he gets dressed up because he knows how important the Tucci test is.
I kind of have like no problem with that because then he sometimes has the tracksuit look, which is like he's going like Tony Soprano mafia style, which I like, you know. Yeah. But I still feel like the pants don't 100% work.
So here's the thing, Dan. I'm glad. Chad,
you're up.
I'm glad you are harping on this minor detail. I just want you to think back, because we know what we're talking about. Yeah. Okay, if you listen to the episodes 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whether episode 10 years ago, I don't know. We're looking at Roman Reigns. We're going, this guy's not believable as a face. He can't even do it. He's boring. He sucks. We're like, take his goddamn vest off.
Yeah.
Show us that chest. Yeah. And let him fucking wear real wrestling attire. We wanted him in a bikini. Okay, that's what we wanted. Okay.
Yeah.
And we said if he shows up to us,
we want a two-piece bikini for a long time.
And by the 2 pieces, I mean separate for right tit and left tit and no bottom. So it was 2 chest pieces, 0 bottom pieces, dick out. No,
but the thing is wearing what Chelsea Green was wearing.
Right. With like panties. Okay,
I don't know what you even call that, what she was wearing on Raw, but now I'm coughing, so I'm gonna let it go.
So the thing is this, Roman did everything that needed to get done. All right. He's now like a heel. He's so good at it. The attire is great. I like that he has different styles because it's more he's a dynamic. You know how some people just have like one outfit?
Like
Chad Gable, he's got one thing. He's like, this is what Gable wears inside, outside. That's it. Shoosh. By the way, they're doing such a disservice by not having the guy have moves called like the shoosh salt and the shoosh plex. Like he needs all that shit. All right. Anyway, they offered me the head writing job. I turned it down. I didn't want to leave Hawaii. So Roman Reigns is doing everything we need him to do, baby. If the last piece of the puzzle to you is that you don't like that he's wearing pants, I'm saying he's got dynamic outfits. He dresses down. He dresses up.
It's minor.
It's minor because here's the thing. But now picture this guy, and I really never – picture this dude if he was wearing the bikini. It's undignified. It's actually below – because he's like – it would look like – it would just look a little femme for me. He's such a powerful guy. I think he pulls off the pants. I feel like having him in a bikini would look silly on him at this point.
I agree. I agree with that point. It would be like, I would love to, with Roman, do a little fashion show.
No, look, you know what I mean?
Because sometimes, yo,
I would love to have Roman.
The pants don't look good. They don't fit him 100% right.
It would be really cool if he did something dope at WrestleMania this year. Like
Ruby Riott. One leg on, one leg
like an ensemble, you know what I'm saying? Like something, or like on, like, you know, carried out as a tribal chief in the throne, like, you know, like with
big,
a freaking huge headpiece on, something like super like tribal this year. Like, I think that's where it's got to go because he has never really done anything like that. He's always just come out,
not really his thing, but he's not theatrical like that.
Yeah, but he should be.
They gave him it was like 20 minutes straight of pyro, like the full rim of inside pyro, then outside, and then back inside again. Like, I was like, every time that pyro went off, I was like, what do you think? It's like 50 grand of just pyro, like done, you know? Who knows? Probably more. But my complaints are so minor because boy, oh boy, he's got that tan down. His beard is perfect now with the haircut.
He's got perfect beard.
The skin, like the skin fade,
mm-hmm.
He looks so fucking good, you know? And he's great. He is the top guy in pro wrestling. It's not even close to the point where I want to talk to you guys, which is that I'm struggling. I'm struggling to see myself, 8 weeks from now, whenever Mania is, feeling like Cody should beat Roman. Where are you guys at?
Well, here's the thing. Roman Reigns has something working for him that people don't just get. Okay. He's bigger than everyone. He's better looking than everyone. He's put in so many years. Like, he's the guy for so many reasons. Right. And when he wasn't doing the right work, but he had all these factors, it was annoying. It's like, oh, he's a third generation and he's good looking and he's jacked. So Vince, you know, when he's getting pushed and he sucks, it's annoying. When he's getting pushed because he's killing it and you have all these factors, it's undeniable. That's why people like this get pushed, because when it works, it just, you can't even imagine them not being the champion. Yeah. Right. So Cody, do I think Cody's going to beat Roman Reigns? I do not, but I also never count out Cody Rhodes. And you guys are talking about how much better the Sami Roman segment was than Cody. I think the pop was bigger for Sami Roman, but again, Sami's been working this like angle has been going on for almost a year of Sami, like, you know, will they or won't they? Like, where's the alliances? So of course the crowd's white hot. I think Cody's promo was better. I think Cody's promo gave me fucking chills. I love Cody's promo.
I would argue against that. I think Cody's promo was better on paper, but it was like,
look, man,
it
I
felt
watched
like
it.
He sat there memorizing a thing and executed it perfectly. It didn't feel like the audience was fully there with it.
The audience was there because I was watching and I got chills. So they were there. Okay.
But you're a huge Cody apologist. And
not an apologist. I'm a Cody supremacist. I'm a Cody supremacist. And I'm a Cody. And by the way, I'm a Cody futurist. I'm saying this. Go back through every episode of this podcast where I said Cody's good at XYZ or is going to do XYZ and someone tells me no, and then he does it and he fucking kills it. Cody has not delivered on his promise in WWE yet, but he has in the past and he will again.
Tula, I'm going to throw to you right now. I just want to say this one thing. I obviously think the Cody segment was very good. It was very well written. The writing in WWE right now across the board is just significantly better since Triple H took over, you know? Sure. And that's just... fact, you know.
But I'm saying, all right, go ahead. Cody segment.
That his story is really good. I dig it. I just was saying, I'm just saying. Simply put, he won that Rumble. It felt a little anticlimactic. They announced him beforehand. They have an opponent of Roman's that has a long story built in.
Sure.
And Roman is on such a fucking roll right now. He's the longest reigning champion in WWE history. Is it 800 day run going right now? You know,
we need to get
the longest running WWE champion, I believe, was Punk at like 400 or something, right?
No, we need to get the facts on this because we got to figure out what reigns, because this is what's more than anything, the back office is going to determine the booking. All not right,
look, you look that up. I want to throw
I can't
off,
it's too hard off. There's too many fucking things. There's too many like Brutus and Martinez got 2800 days of reigning.
I'm Hulk talking Hogan, about I don't go we don't need to do that because like
that's you
like
WWE like, only I mean who gives a
yeah,
shit
I'm
about
talking
WWE.
Like WWE. I'm talking modern day WWE the past like what 25
that's not years. Important that's not important what's important is like the history. They need a guy who's gonna they need to erase Hulk Hogan's reign. Hulk Hogan is at 1,400 days of WWF champion. They need to erase it. They need someone who's going to surpass that.
Oh, so Hogan has 1,400?
But that's what I need to figure out because I'm like, does that mean?
Whatever. Okay, so the long WWE, whatever. All right, let's start at Tulo. The stats are just
well, ridiculous. I think for the first time ever, we're in a unique spot where the Royal Rumble winner doesn't have to extend the storyline to face the champion from the time they went at the Rumble till Mania. And I think by that time, we're always like, how you know, this person doesn't even have to wrestle. They have a thing at Mania now. So like what I'm saying is that right now, Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn have this going and it's leading up to Elimination Chamber in Montreal. So I think right now, Cody can spend his time putting on his matches with Finn Balor and the other great superstars in WWE and building up his thing and cutting his promos. But he really doesn't have to go to work until after Elimination Chamber because it all depends. We don't know, actually, because it really depends on what happens at Elimination Chamber.
Well,
really.
Here's a couple of issues here, too. Like, you're bringing up awesome shit because Elimination Chamber is set up. It's going to be Zayn versus Reigns at Elimination Chamber in Montreal. So that's going to be fucking insane. You know what I mean? That's going to be nuts. Now,
it's going to be crazy.
We've not seen KO, right?
Nope. Yeah.
So we don't know what's going on with Owens. And the thing is, their plan is to keep Cody Rhodes and Roman apart so that you feel it's exciting when those two look at each other finally, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the plan. It's like these guys are one's on Raw, one's on SmackDown. They're, you know, Roman played it nicely by being like, yo, I could talk about a guy who's like worthy of my time. Cody Rhodes, he actually won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, I just want to say another thing going on in fucking WWE that they never could nail for the past like 10 years, which is like giving things real significance. Like Roman acknowledging that winning the Royal Rumble is a big deal, even though he's the heel. Is cool, you know. Roman like really the thing that Roman does that makes the Bloodline thing work the most is he gives the title stakes, which it never has, because he says, like, this title feeds our family, you know? He'll be like, yo, we need to all be intact here to hold this title, because essentially that's where, you know, this is all subtext, but it's like, having this means we sell more merchandise. We get main event purses. You know what I mean? We get more airtime. Like, you know, it's all about, like, and this, and, like, in your mind, this all goes back to their village in Samoa. You know what I mean? And we all know
this
is Florida,
sounding
really
vaguely racist. Okay, so I'm going to stop
not
right
racist.
There.
Oh, nothing I said. I'm saying that that's like what they're.
Look, as a Pacific Islander, as a man who lives in the Pacific Islands, I don't really appreciate language and verbiage, like it's going back to a village somewhere. All this like iconography of the savage or wild Samoans. I want to just pause you right there, and I have something very important to talk about.
Literally, his dad was in a tag team called the Wild Samoans.
Exactly. Like, okay. And that was thousands of years ago when wrestling was even more racist. Okay. So,
okay.
What I'm saying is
someone's from a village is not racist.
Okay. If they're from a village, then it's not. If they're not from, if they're from Florida, maybe it is.
Well, you interrupt me because I was saying they say a village, but it's really Pensacola, Florida. All right. It's a PGA village.
That's true. It takes a village to raise a child, and you're acting like a little kid right now. So what I need to tell you is that
he felt the need to shoehorn in hostility. We're not even disagreeing.
Listen, you guys aren't being very juicy right now, right?
Look, you guys are talking about how
it'd be juicy, bro.
Cody, the we're worried. We're expressing some worry. Is the hotter storyline Sammy Roman right now, right? And how they're going to sustain this sort of thing, right? Because it feels like Roman, that whole angle feels real for the first time forever. Look, the Sammy Roman stuff is great, but saying that, like, oh, the Cody thing didn't really have the same impact as the Sammy Roman thing. It's like, well, that Sammy Roman's going for, that's like saying, yo, the season finale of Game of Thrones, like, more people gave a shit about it than the season premiere of Last of Us. It's like, yeah, well, of course, because that's a fucking thing that's been going on for fucking 10 seasons. This is a brand new thing that's going to be cool. We don't know how it's going to go. And
I think it's cool because we're in.
As far as, but as far as, like, what happens for the next, like, we have 2 months of angles. Cody could team up with Sammy, and Cody could be the one who vindicates Sammy and helps him get revenge on the Bloodline. Cody and KO and Sammy could be a thing. We don't know what's going on with Sammy and KO. Maybe KO will come back and betray Sammy and help Roman.
All right, like, I'll take a second.
There's so many things going on.
There's not as much time as you think. Okay, we have like seven or eight Raws left. Okay. And also, I'll say this, is that I'm saying, I do see a path to it being over. What I'm saying is that this crowd is so into Sammy. But I am saying that the storyline of Cody being like, yo, my family has not gotten the respect it deserves in WWF, and having to take down another family, which he's already said, you know, and if you bring in Dustin, you know what I mean, you bring Brandy in, like, you know, to get them on screen, have their Liberty there and stuff like that. You're like, this is our family taking what's rightfully ours from people who've been handed it or whatever. Like, that's going to be fucking awesome. What I'm just saying is that the Sammy KO stuff is going to be pretty hot too. It's
well, we don't
fun.
Know what that's the thing. They have, it's a good problem to have. You're acting like it's a bad thing.
It's unpredictable.
We've got a lot of clay to play with. We have Sammy and KO.
They might make it a triple threat. That's all I'm saying. Like,
they might, but then what do they do with KO? Who knows? What do they do with the Uso? I mean, no one's even heard from Jey Uso. Have you heard from Jey Uso?
I've been calling him all week.
By the way, I was concerned because I haven't either. I haven't even heard from Jey Uso.
Yeah.
Solo hasn't heard from him, fine, whatever. Jimmy hasn't heard from him. But the thing is this, I usually hear from him after every fucking episode of Raw and SmackDown. I've got my ear to the streets. I'm an island boy. Okay. Yeah, you think he gives a shit about you white boys? Absolutely not. So I usually hear from Jey what's going on, and I haven't heard from Jey. We don't know if he's going to be pro-Roman, pro-Sammy, pro-Cody. There's so much going on. Anything could happen. I know we only have 2 months here, but I think that's not a bad thing. I don't think it works against Cody that Sammy thing is going so well. I think this could be – who the fuck knows? Like, it could be Cody and KO. I mean, it could be Sammy and KO against the Usos for the fucking tag titles the same night, right leading into – Cody versus Roman, and all six of them are involved in some imbroglios. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I'll be texting my friend Jey Uso after this podcast to find out more.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you should do that. I mean, it would be nice to.
I'm not even kidding. He just texted me right now.
What is
he literally just texted me. He just texted me. It was actually just an emoji of an eggplant with like the cum. It was like a cum eggplant thing. Oh, so I think he wasn't on SmackDown because he was in a a fuck sesh. I think it was our little inside joke for fuck
classic
sesh.
Jay.
All right, well, that's big breaking news here. You heard it here second, folks. I mean, yeah, I feel like I'm coming down negative on Cody. I'm obviously a huge Cody mark. I just was saying that I think you're right, Tulo. You know, I think my just wrestling brain is just going to the Kofi Mania thing with Sammy. Like, I don't see the Sammy shit dying down anytime soon, you know? So that's a good problem to have.
But why can't the Sammy thing be in service of the Cody storyline? Like,
it can. My thing is just that Cody, since he came out 30 at the Rumble, I've been worried for him because of like what we've seen happen to him at AEW when he becomes the heel. You know what I mean? Like, but he has some kind of he has an undeniable proclivity towards. There's a little bit of I don't want to say it that way because you're going to disagree. I don't care if you disagree, but I even disagree with it.
Sounds like you care.
People have said to me this line before. People have said to me this. They've said the problem with Cody is that he's actually a heel. People have said that to me before. And I'm not saying I totally agree with him, you know, but he does. There is like something with him where he does feel a little like privileged or something.
Yeah, for sure. Right? For sure. For sure.
He's like the hot version of his dad. Also.
Right. Right. Right.
He's the other great. Weird thing. You
he's
know?
Got a great. He's doing he's got, more
like,
than
a babe. He acts. He plays this underdog thing, and he like actually, and he's like, "Yo, I showed up at 19 to the performance center." It's like, "Yeah, well, you were handed that because of your
dad."
Right,
you know? Right,
like,
right,
you know.
But if you look, you're 100% right. There's something about Cody that feels both entitled and at the same time underdoggy. Like, because the thing is, but even Dusty was always dogged by WWE, right? Like, even though he's he just won the Rumble, something his dad never did, right? He's going to main event WrestleMania, something his dad never did, like. There's all this great stuff with Cody, but at the same time, it's also still like, well, it's a little bit nepotism-y, fine. But he also worked as that. I mean, I know what you're talking about. There's something to it.
Cody's a fucking nepo baby,
and he has the sheen of like a. He's just like a handsome. Like, of course they're going to put stuff behind this guy. Like, he's an obvious choice, and yet somehow it doesn't seem right. Like, there's something off. Like, he doesn't deserve it all the way, but he does deserve it. Like, it's hard to figure him out. I mean,
like,
I'll tell you
this. I feel like with him, I go kind of like up and down a little, you know, like I go, you know.
But I think that's interesting. I mean, the thing is this, what I love about Cody is what
Thanks for saying, see the things this, by the way. See the things this.
There's something I love about Shane McMahon is that he didn't need to do any of this.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway. And he's already millionaire. All he has to do is show up to work and he's taking 40-foot dives and getting concussions going through the glass.
Yeah.
Cody's the same way. Cody was the EVP of AEW. He's lighting himself on fire and taking bumps. Like, Cody's
but then
doing.
He tells you that he did it.
Then he tells you about it. But when he gives these promos, the thing is this, you see the thing is this, he means every fucking word he's saying. Like, it is emotional for him. He is really feeling it in real time. And a lot of these other guys, they're acting, and I don't think Cody's acting. Might be a little polished, but he fucking means. Here's the thing about Cody: he believes his gimmick, and that's really important. He believes every fucking word he says, and sometimes that can be bad, like when you're Hulk Hogan, where you're like, or when you're Ric Flair, where you're like, they can't let it go. But he believes his gimmick, he is a little bit unlikable because he's good looking, rich, talented, successful. Every risk he took paid off. Like, there's something hateable and punchable out of his face. But I will tell you this. He doesn't have a lisp. He puts that on to make himself more humanize himself and make him feel more like an underdog. He has perfect diction.
Are lisps hereditary?
Well, he inherited from his dad. All right. There's two schools of thought. One is that he's totally faking, like Kaiser Soze, because he wants people to like him more and feel like he's more of an underdog because he's not. So he fakes a lisp. The second thing is, well, his dad taught him how to speak English, right? I mean, his mom was Cuban. His dad's fucking suffering succotash all over the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah.
So that's how he learned how to speak. He inherited it from his dad. He's got his dad's eyes and his dad's tongue, you know?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the thing about Cody is there's just sometimes where he gets these promos where I'm fully behind him. And then sometimes I'm like, this guy's been wronged. And sometimes he's a whiny baby. You know, it's like, it's tricky. And it's like, and it all comes down to really his dad thing. Like here's an example of something Cody does that gets me is like in a positive way where he gets the baby face heat is when he talks about it, like stuff where he's like, yo, my biggest fear was like, my dad dying before I won the title.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like shit like that. And then you're like, oh man, that sucks. Like he really, you know, that he's going to do all this amazing stuff. And we all know his dad's not there, you know?
Sure.
Like that stuff's fucking
real.
Great, you know?
It's real.
So like that. But then when he starts going, I light myself on fire for you. I start being like, all right, bro, it's a little desperate. You know what I mean?
Well, and, but some people don't do it.
No. And that's the thing, Cody. It's the other thing about Cody, I think it's really weird is this WWE version of Cody. And I don't know, it's because he like got injured and then came back or like whatever. Or like I'm like the AEW thing felt like a fever dream. No,
dude, sort of. Wild.
Sort of, but if you think about AEW, I mean this with my fullest sincerity. I'm not trying to say anything. I don't think this is a hot take.
Yeah.
That place wouldn't fucking exist without Cody Rhodes, period. Like, true. The Young true. Bucks can't fucking true. Talk. Kenny Omega's a fucking cartoon character.
And that was my – I had something boiling inside. And
let's go to Tulo.
And,
Tulo, boil
let's
up.
Go, let's go to Tulo with the weather.
I don't ever like doing this. But it's kind of crazy how it works now, where it's like as Roman is getting so goddamn popular and like so good at what he's doing, it makes me mad to fucking watch Kenny Omega coming out to carry on my wayward son.
Bro, I gotta
and
say
throwing V triggers to fucking Matt Hardy and the gang and going over to fucking to the Tokyo Dome and winning the title and like. Who cares, right? If Roman Reigns had to face somebody from in all of wrestling right now outside of WWE, Kenny Omega wouldn't even crack the top five for me right now. I wouldn't want to waste Roman Reigns on him. Well, I would go Moxley. I would go MJF. I would go Okada. I would go Will Ospreay before I went Kenny Omega.
That's funny.
To the point where Abush.
That's insane.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, that's where I'm at right now. And it bothers me because. Right now, this should be Kenny on top of the fucking world answering to Roman Reigns. Like, I know it doesn't have to compare like that, but like, I feel like Kenny Omega is being wasted right now in the prime of his career. And it's like he's doing the fucking
Kenny
cool in the gang shit.
Tell me if you agree if I'm summing your point up here. Kenny is not the total package. That's like how I put it. It's like Kenny is amazing in the ways that he's amazing, and he has amazing moments, and he has amazing like
and I
segments, think, amazing moves, amazing and, matches, and this and that. But he does not have an amazing package. Like he does not have an amazing character.
The problem is that that's what Kenny Omega wants to be, and that's completely fine if that's what he wants to be.
Right,
but we all know what he can be, and he just doesn't want to go there.
Right.
He did
Kenny
it all.
Omega's a huge, huge letdown for me.
And to me, I just can't help but think of like when he was done in Japan, and I was just thinking the whole entire time.
No,
they better
the
be
way,
over there. WWE
Tulo,
better be over there with
a
blank.
I know I'm gonna eat those words. I'm saying that.
Yeah,
but I do think that Kenny squanders so much great shit he could do. In his career. And it is what it is.
And that's, you know, like I said, I'm just looking at it and I'm looking over there right now. And I'm like, man, this bloodline stuff is so, so fucking good to the point that it's like, it nothing even happening over there or even scratches the surface.
But Tulo, what I would say is that the Jabroniacs, their argument would be at you. Because whenever you talk like this, I read their comments.
Yeah,
and the criticism of you is like you're like, all right, now you're all in on this company, you're out on the other one. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're hot and cold.
Yeah, and
I
like,
mean, I watched Dynamite and Rampage this week. And...
Yeah, we don't need to. And I'm saying like it's fine. You don't need to pit them up against each other. But where I do agree with you, where it's like, yes, the Carry On My Wayward Son feels like you're in a lip sync competition or something. Like you're not in this. AEW
it's fun.
Is not at all capturing the concept of universe, which is when wrestling shines. Whereas like that's the same thing as like I was watching this week Mox coming out to Wild Thing. Just for whatever reason, this week I was just like, this is stupid.
Yeah. Well, I think Mox enjoyed some moments of greatness, but I will go to my grave thinking the guy's absolute trash. Like, he just doesn't have almost anything, but he was able to turn that into a fucking moment and something. He's done good stuff. But here's, I have a couple big points. Guys, do you have a sound effect for one of big, big points? These are my biggest points yet. Okay.
Well, I'm looking for a like a boner boing.
Yeah, I need a boner boing. Okay. I've got the hardest copy in the West. Look, I mean,
what do I Google boner boing?
Yeah, just Google boner. That's going to help. No, I have huge points. You guys have been making very important points.
I just put it to YouTube. Boner boing SFX.
Okay? Okay, hit me. That's the big points. I got big points.
Okay. This is the first thing to pop up. Boner sound effect.
All right. We all knew that's what it was going to be. I don't think that's really appropriate for these big, huge points I got to drop on you guys, but here are my big points.
I like that we all know what a boner sound effect is.
We've all had boners.
They don't even have – it doesn't make sound.
All right. I'm going to rewind the clocks a little bit just to sum up something from the past. The thing about the Cody thing, here's one thing that you guys don't like about Cody. I think a lot of people don't like about Cody. They might not be able to put their finger on it. But again, because I run the Jason Shapiro Memorial Institute for the Advancement of Wrestling Sciences, I analyze things like this, so you don't have to.
You're dead?
They thought that in order for me to get to do to make the time for this, I had to fake my own death so my parents wouldn't be looking for me. My work would be on hold. I needed to fake my own death to open the institute. So we call it the Jason Shapiro Memorial Institute.
Do you think after you die, your job will be put on hold?
Yeah, I was a sabbatical. It was a death sabbatical. Okay. Basically, for me to get the funding, I need to collect the insurance money so I could open the Wrestling Science Lab in the Amazon. So it's called the Jason Shapiro Memorial Institute for the Advancement of Wrestling Sciences. Obviously, because it's wrestling, everyone understood when I wasn't really dead. The point is, I analyzed some of the Cody numbers. Mm-hmm. The thing about Cody is, he has great promos. He gives you chills. He has moments that you think he deserves. He has moments you think he doesn't deserve. But the thing about Cody that might be rubbing the wrong way is he makes a meal out of every fucking thing the way I do. Everything that happens with this guy, that's a 5.5 minute speech, right? Mm-hmm. And I know because I'm the same way. And that's probably what I like about him because, look, you rewind this podcast, I'll put my fucking best of reel against anybody else, including Dan, you yourself. I think I'm the fucking best, okay? So every time I talk, I need to make this 10 minutes long for your sake. And that's what Cody does. Cody's like, look, I need to help this company out. Let me cut a 7.5 minute promo about my lunch today. All right. That's what Cody does. He makes a meal out of everything. It's a big point. That was a pretty big point, though, don't you think? I think it's a good point.
That is true. He's making a meal out of a snack.
Everything. And by the way, some of these meals are fucking delicious. But he's making
Even
a meal.
Now you're making a meal out of the meal point.
Right. Well, it's meta. It's wrestling. So I'm making a meal out of the meal point because that's what I do.
Yeah.
Obviously. Now, here's the other big point. Big point number two. It's a Kenny Omega point. If we rewound this podcast, there have been moments, not even within more than a year from now, where both of you would have said Kenny Omega was the best thing going in wrestling. I hear a lot about Kenny being a disappointment, Kenny not living up to his potential, but Kenny Omega, when he was in Belt Hunter Kenny with Don Callis cutting his fucking promos, that was the best thing in wrestling at the time. Better than Roman, it was fucking amazing, and it wasn't ancient history.
Yeah, okay? But that stuff didn't touch any of this Bloodline stuff. Like, one thing was pretty good, cool, and then you saw,
I got you, but that's not my point. That's not my Kenny point. That's my Kenny appetizer. Again, this is a meal, okay? I'm making a meal here. First, I'm serving a little appetizer. I'm just saying Kenny gets a lot of hate. But when I watch Kenny Omega in that ring, between those ropes, coming into that ring, no one moves like this guy.
In that ring.
No one wrestles like that guy.
You were just saying punk. You were just punk, right?
Yes. Nothing this guy, like this guy is special. He is more special than Roman. He is that left. He is so good at being a wrestler inside that ring. His theatricality, his movement, his control of his body, his moveset. That guy's a number one for me. Kenny Omega is fucking amazing. It does look like he's having a lot of fun and fucking around with his friends instead of making history, right? Yeah. I think that's what's getting in your craw. Roman Reigns is out there making motherfucking history.
Correct.
And Kenny Omega could be doing the same thing and even a cooler way because he could be doing it his way on an indie without the support of WWE, like blazing a trail, something like closer to what Cody was doing. And he has the power to do it, but something about him, he just doesn't because he's not. So what's he missing? What's he missing, right? Here's what's missing from Kenny. And by the way, he's having a great time. So maybe nothing's missing, right? He's doing great work. He's having a good time. Right. All good. That's your point. Mm-hmm. Here's what's missing from Kenny. and no one wants to talk about it, and Kenny doesn't even fucking want it, okay? But what's missing from Kenny and the Young Bucks and their little fucking piss ants who hang out with them with the fucking cold creams and the fucking camera, whatever the fuck they're doing, the clipboard, get out of here with that shit. What's missing is what I'm going to call and what the Institute calls Vincitude, okay? There is no Vince McMahon screaming at him when he comes back through Gorilla.
Yeah, he's getting hugged from Tony.
There's no Vince McMahon micromanaging his fucking panties colors.
What the hell is that, Omega? I would kill for that.
There's no Vince McMahon squashing this guy's dreams when he's supposed to win the Rumble and telling him, bro, no, I feel like I want Logan Paul to win this year, right? Vince McMahon, whether you like it or not, has been the number one greatest force in the history of this business and that we'll ever see. And the guy's a fucking monster and probably one of the biggest pieces of shit of God's green earth. But what he has is the magic touch. And without ever being touched by Vince, helping you, hurting you, fucking you over, making you a star, and without that instinct in your back office writing-wise, it's always going to feel less than. Because Vince is the mountain. So if you don't have the touch of this mountain, if you're not made from that same stone, you're not going to be able to be what Roman's being. Because there's a Vincitude to that plot line. There's a Vincitude to that.
I couldn't agree more.
And Kenny, that's what Kenny's missing. We're not happy about it, but what Kenny is missing is maybe what even makes Kenny Kenny, what makes him great, is what he's missing is Vince.
Well, that's what I said when his contract was done in New Jersey and they decided to do the AEW thing. Yeah. I was like, Vince and Triple H better be on a fucking jet with a blank fucking check to this
guy.
Absolutely
right.
And guess what?
They did.
Whatever. He didn't, and they went and
Vince
created AEW.
Flew down there, right? Vince went to go see him.
I don't know, but
no,
regardless.
No, Cody said. He said, you know, you're talking about Cody, right?
No, I was talking about for Kenny. Because after that match in Tokyo Dome, it was like insane. I will say this. I have watched a shit ton of wrestling in the last week. I was at from the Alamo Dome all the way through this weekend. I even watched Vengeance Day. Vengeance Day was live in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was sick. Let me tell you that. NXT definitely felt back. And that is a really good vibe because what that means is that if the old NXT comes back in a way where they're able to attract bigger talents, like, and I wouldn't even say this, but Jay White would go directly to WWE. But like when those vibes were going on, when they were bringing big guys into NXT, having them do the little stint, if it goes back on tour again, which it's gonna, they just announced Stand and Deliver WrestleMania weekend. So, you know, that will be sick. I think WWE is right back in its money zone again. And you can look across. I was looking at NXT, the talent down there too, like really, really fucking good, like insane. And I think, and then you look at the main roster talent and across both brands going into WrestleMania again, this is sick. And then I also watch AEW and I had a good time watching Dynamite. I think Rampage has just become like that taped SmackDown that used to happen on Tuesdays or Wednesdays or back down on Fridays or back on Thursdays. It's becoming like almost like whatever, you know, because it's recorded and you don't even have to really, nothing meaningful ever happens over there. But
Tulo, just for time, I'm going to talk about one more topic because then I got to run. But we're going to record a bonus episode. We're going to figure out when we're going to do that. We'll put that out. Well, in the Discord, we'll tell you when that's coming up. But coming at you. Hmm. But Rhea Ripley announces that she is going after Charlotte. So we have that officially set up. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte. I liked her promo. I liked Rhea's promo. I thought it was pretty solid. Again, the writing was good. The writing's good, and these wrestlers are nailing the main points. It makes me think they're going back to bullet points, you know, because they're not like fucking up as much. You know what I mean? And Rhea Ripley's whole point of just being like, yo, I was like, you know, I think she was saying she was 24 when she wrestled Charlotte, and she put over Charlotte, just being like, Charlotte's the absolute fucking best in this business, you know?
It's kind of crazy. We didn't see anything with Bray this week, right?
No. That's except wild. For my gym. They played his theme song at my gym, which would be very
right,
much
right. Well, except we did devote 10 minutes of the podcast to him earlier.
It was hilarious to see like all the you know, non-wrestling marks in my gym, just like warming up to.
Big announcement also, Carmella's back as Mella is Money, the Princess of Staten Island.
Yeah.
Now that's, you know, I mean, I wish you guys were around when she popped up on my screen because I fucking screamed.
Yeah. Well, now she's married to Corey Graves. But yeah. Do you think that Charlotte Rhea Ripley will get to a play? By the way, that's two heels going up against each other, right?
No, Charlotte's been face right now.
Is she?
Yep. She's working face and it's working. Okay. And she also did the opener like promo for Vengeance Day because it was in Charlotte. And it was really cool. I thought that was awesome too.
And
so
she pretends to be from there. So
yeah. And the other thing
is from Charlotte.
Is she?
And if we get if
her name
get,
is not Charlotte Flair. Her name is like Leslie or
it's
something.
Ashley. Yeah.
And she's from Charlotte.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
And then Asuka Bianca is the other rumored match for Mania. And the way we got Asuka right now is sick too.
Asuka Bianca is a great Mania
match. They're talking a great Mania match. And this with this version of Asuka, I think it's perfect for Bianca. I think unleashing what Asuka is now back to that old version where she was just, I mean, she was really.
No one's ready for the Oscars.
No one's ready for the Oscars.
I hope Bianca Belair wins that match. And beats Asuka so bad that she actually dies and is never wrestling
ever
again.
You're the fucking worst.
She is, by
the
way, fucking the fucking every time she's on my screen, I want to.
You're so stupid.
I want to get into chess or something.
That might be your worst take. That might be your worst take you've ever had in your life. By the way,
his take might be bad, but I do want Bianca to beat Asuka, right? Because she's undefeated at Mania. I think they should have Bianca go on a undefeated Mania run. You know what I'm saying?
No, this is going to be Roman Reigns' seventh main event did WrestleMania.
More than Hogan, right?
One more after this. One more
Hogan
and he'll tie. No, I think eight. Hogan's got eight.
Yeah. But the big thing was Roman did four in a row. Hogan did four in a row. Before.
And my theory on that is that, it's rumored that he's going to get Cena at Mania, which would be insane.
That's a great match. Like, have Theory come in. Because you have to teach the kid to fucking be good, you know.
And you have and the best part about that too is you have like Cena win that match, and then on the Monday after Mania, drop it to like a debut, like a Jay White or somebody like that.
Yeah.
If Jay White comes to WWE, watch out.
Jay White's great. All right, I really do have to go, but I'm just gonna play this, and then we don't have that time to comment on it. But
do you like to see Phil Brooks?
Seth Rollins.
WWE? Philly Phil, stay away, you cancer. Get away from me forever. I don't like Phil. I don't like Phil. He's a jerk. Oh, did we just figure that out? No, everybody in the room like is like, oh no, did he say that? Yeah, no, he's a jerk. Come on, we figured it out over there. We knew it over here. I don't want him back. Go do something else. Bye bye. Would you like to see?
Yo, by the way, so everyone knows that fucking. See a punk is supposedly a huge asshole, but do you see the way that Seth Rollins is dressed in this?
Oh yeah,
he looks drunk.
I'm gonna recreate that look
he looks
one day.
Like Dog the Bounty on.
Yeah, it's like, incredible, it's, dude.
I don't know what to feel about Seth.
I love
like,
him, man.
He's all in on like you know. Look, the whole chant, it's over. Like with the crowd, it's good. It comes out, but it's like. I was getting to like 3 or 4 years of his career being this complete goof zone, and he's the best wrestler.
You know what Seth Rollins is?
Yeah.
Seth Rollins is the Johnny Depp of WWE.
Yeah.
Think about early Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp's in these incredible movies, and he's such an incredible actor. He's Donnie Brasco. You know, he's different. He's amazing. And then all of a sudden, he just turns into like, squibbing the bop. He's like a David Lee Roth clown. Like, and he is Johnny Depp because you know he's the fucking man. You know he's got the goods. You know he could go. You know he fucking rules. But he chooses to just sort of wear like chunky jewelry and 10 scarves.
Yeah.
And like, it's not even a gimmick at this point. I think that's what the
he's
real
like
Seth
the Jared,
Rollins is.
He's like the Jared Leto and Johnny Depp. If those two fucked.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is 100% Johnny Depp in it. He's an absolute legend in the game, but also everyone's like, wait, what the fuck are you doing?
You know that he has, like, pretty good pull over there at this point where he could be like, yo, I'd like to stop being,
making him do this.
Women's lingerie as my gear. And like,
dude, no one is making him do this. He's just like, yo.
And they're saying him versus Logan Paul at Mania.
Yeah, that's clearly confirmed.
Which would
that's
be great.
That's great booking for Seth.
I just hope to God that they don't make him fucking job to Logan, which they probably will.
No, I don't think they will. Mm. But who knows? Because Seth's been eating pins for a while.
Right. Seth doesn't need to win anything. Seth proved
that. The one thing I'd say is the match I was thinking that I wanted from Seth this year was Seth KO, because when they had that match, it was in the fucking dome. It was in the Performance Center. You know?
I think we're pretty far from that happening now.
No, it's not going to happen. Logan Paul, it's already confirmed because they mentioned Logan Paul.
Right.
You know?
Right.
All right, anyway, I got to run, dudes. Great week of wrestling. I feel like this is one of the coolest roads to WrestleMania. Am I wrong?
There's Cody Rhodes.
How are you spelling it?
Lana Rhodes.
What?
Are you spelling it? Rhodes?
Oh, my God. Does that shirt exist? The Rhodes?
They're definitely. I'm not the first person to say that. I don't know if the shirt exists, but it will.
All right. Bonus app coming soon. Thanks, guys, for coming on here. Follow me on Instagram at DanBlackAttack. What do you guys want to plug?
Follow me on Instagram at Shabiro. That's Sierra Hotel Echo Bravo India Romeo Oscar. Follow my institution, the Jason Shabiro Memorial Institute for the Advancement of Wrestling Sciences. We're taking funding. It's a 501c3 tax deductible, so please contribute. There's a link to that on Dan's Patreon.
Too low?
Yeah, you know.
At Tiptoe with Too Low. Everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.
Pesos.
Smoochies.